proclaim the gospel to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Shalom and welcome to the Everlasting Nation, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions.
This is Mark Oshman with the International Board of Jewish Missions, bringing you another radio program. The book of Isaiah probably contained more references to the person and the work of the coming Messiah than any other Old Testament book did. In this session, we will look at Isaiah's prophecy relating to the character of the Messiah, found in the 9th chapter of Isaiah. In that section of Scripture, the prophet alluded to the coming Messiah as both a son and a child. He penned these words that, quote, "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given," unquote. Observe the slight difference in language between the two phrases. The child being born did not always exist as a child. However, the son being given always did exist. As the second person of the Trinity, Jesus Christ remained eternal. As John stated in the opening words of his gospel, quote, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God," unquote. Yet, a time in history came when the Lord, quote, "took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men," unquote, according to the language in the second chapter of Philippians. Consider the meaning of the names ascribed to this child in Isaiah chapter 9. Each name referred to some aspect of the Messiah's character. He was wonderful. Pele, the Hebrew noun translated as wonderful, referred to anything extraordinary. Jesus Christ manifested himself as wonderful in the miracles he performed. Indeed, some of his Jewish contemporaries asked themselves, according to John chapter 7, quote, "When Christ cometh, will he do more miracles than these which this man hath done?" Unquote. Then you have the word counselor. Ya'atz, the Hebrew noun rendered as counselor, denoted a person who gave advice to someone else, whether that advice was good or bad. The Lord frequently engaged in bestowing wise counsel throughout the course of his earthly ministry. Take one example toward the end of his ministry when a lawyer asked him about the greatest mandate in the law. Jesus Christ cited two examples from the book of Deuteronomy and from the book of Leviticus and added that, quote, "On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets," unquote. The mighty God, El Gibor in Hebrew. Some commentators argue that Jesus Christ never claimed to be God. However, during his trial before a Jewish council, a proceeding described in Mark chapter 14, the Savior refuted that assertion. When the high priest asked him, "Art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed?" the Lord, under oath, replied, "I am." Everlasting Father, Jesus Christ affirmed his identity with God the Father in John chapter 10, when he stated that, quote, "I and my Father are one," unquote. In John 14, the Savior told Philip that, quote, "He that hath seen me hath seen the Father," unquote. Then Isaiah labeled Messiah as the Prince of Peace. Jesus Christ brought peace between God and man. As Paul wrote in Romans chapter number 5, quote, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ," unquote. Also, Jesus Christ will bring peace to earth when he comes to rule and reign for that 1,000-year period. Perfect peace will ensue because Jesus Christ will rule the world with a rod of iron, and he will govern the world in righteousness. So Jesus Christ fulfilled all of these descriptions of Messiah, forecast years before in the 9th chapter of that book. This is Mark Oshman with the International Board of Jewish Missions, bringing you another radio program.
You've been listening to The Everlasting Nation, a ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions. For more information, you can contact us at 423-876-8150 or go online to ibjm.org. Until next time, may God bless and shalom.